in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to help us, that he may speak through his own word to each one of us. I'd ask your prayerful attention just by way of a text to Ezekiel, which we read, the prophecy of Ezekiel, chapter 3 and verse 4. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And he said unto me, Son of man, go, get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Dear friends, what a need there is in this day to each one of us here to speak the words of God. Not my words, God forbid, but as we find it in the Holy Scriptures, the things, the truth that is contained therein. And dear friends, very solemnly, it was said to Ezekiel, who should do this, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. To hear is to receive, and for the word to have an effect. To forbear is to reject it, and it have no influence upon us. Oh, dear friends, these things are very, very solemn for each one of us, no matter what our age, younger and older. The need to hear and receive the word of God. Ezekiel, here, was in the captivity of Babylon. He was a priest. He was a priest of the Lord of the tribe of Judah. And the Lord called him to be a prophet. He came into the captivity at the same time as Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. And it was now the fifth year since they come into captivity. And the Lord appeared unto Ezekiel as he was by the river Shebar. And Ezekiel had this wonderful vision. There was a great burning cloud, like a cloud of fire, and out of it appeared all these mysterious visions of four beasts, four creatures, each having four heads and four wings and wheels. And they moved. They glorified God. And the glory of God was in them. And the glory of God appeared unto Ezekiel. We read at the end of chapter 1, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. And God spoke unto Ezekiel to go and speak God's word unto Israel, as it's called, although it was the tribe Judah of Israel, specifically to whom he was sent, in the captivity at Babylon. Then as God spoke unto him, They were spread out before Ezekiel, a great scroll written on both sides, and contained therein were very solemn things of lamentations, mourning, and woe. And then, most mysteriously, Ezekiel was told to eat that roll. And the significance there is, by eating that roll and all those words, Ezekiel became filled with the word of God. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. And the Lord directed him to Tel Abib, which was by the river of Shebar. And he sat there with the others. I sat there where they sat, amongst the people of the captivity. Dear friends, he became one with them. Although the Lord had appeared unto Ezekiel in this miraculous, marvellous way, in his earthly existence, he sat where they sat. He was surrounded by the circumstances that they were surrounded by. He was in the captivity where they were. And he was astonished among them for 7 days, as if he feared to speak. Dear friends, he feared to speak his own word. But after those 7 days, we read that the word of the Lord came unto him. I've made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel, therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. You know, dear friends, when we come to the house of God to hear the preaching of the word, we love to hear smooth things, don't we? We love to hear of the mercy and of the grace of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sweetness of the promises, the greatness of his compassions, that which gives us, in measure, a sweet comfort. But, dear friends, the whole counsel of God has to be preached. Not only are there blessings, there are also curses. And there are warnings to be sounded so that everyone shall hear. Oh, dear friends, these things are solemn. But they affect us each. And I must speak them, the word of God. Verse 18 says, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Dear friends, to how many of us here this morning does that word apply? The wicked. Who are the wicked? Dear friends, in our own nature, in our own flesh, there's not one of us here this morning left out. Whether we're young or whether we're older. Why, the scripture tells us clearly, we were conceived in sin and shapen in iniquity. We were born dead in trespasses and in sins. That's our nature. And the wicked are described as God is not in all their thoughts. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Now, Scripture tells us in our nature we are wise in our own eyes. The Scripture tells us all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Oh, dear friends, we look upon the things of this world and in our daily circumstances. And there are many ways, all our ways, which seem right unto us as we consider them ourselves. And the Word of God says the end of those ways is death. Not just death of our bodies, for it's appointed unto us all once to die. And there's an eternity before us. And after that, the judgment. Appointed unto us all once to die, the judgment, where we shall spend that eternity, where we shall spend that eternity. Either in heaven or in hell. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die. Dear friends, if we die in our sins, if we die in our iniquities, if there's been no change of our heart from the status in which we were born, we shall die in our sins. And we shall spend eternity in that dreadful place which the Lord God hath prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, what a solemn place that is. And we cannot, dear friends, imagine the evil of that place. Darkness is described in some places, the bottomless pit. A place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Dear friends, these are the words of Jesus. Do you remember that parable that Jesus told concerning Lazarus and the rich man? They both lived upon this earth in their different circumstances. The rich man, dear friends, in his pleasure and enjoyment and satisfaction of this life, he died. Lazarus, with his sores and dreadful dependency upon others to give him bread, he also died. That rich man went to hell. What was his judgment? Well, maybe the love of money was the root of all evil, that he used it for sin because he was rich. Maybe that. But there's one thing we are certain of. With his riches, he lived content without God. Oh, what a solemn judgment. To live our lives upon this earth content in all the earthly benefits we have, the affluence of it, the things for the good of our bodies. And there's no exercise in our soul concerning eternity. Lived content without God. Dear friends, these things are to search our hearts, they're warning. This rich man, we read, Jesus said, in hell, lifted up his eyes, he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Now, Lazarus, no doubt, we don't read much about him, but in his need he must have prayed earnestly to God to supply his need in his poverty every day. Oh, what a sore existence he had. He didn't go to heaven because he had poverty and distress and sickness. No. He went to heaven because he depended and trusted by faith in God to supply his every need. Oh, what a difference there was between those two. And what upon this earth, and what a difference in eternity. We read that, said the rich man, lifted up his eyes in hell and saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Now that was a description the Jews often used for heaven. They called it Abraham's bosom. And he desired that Lazarus come down and dip his finger in water to touch this rich man's tongue as a little slight comfort in that flame. I am tormented, he said, in this flame. And Abraham said, no, between us there's a great gulf fixed. You cannot pass from one to the other. The judgment is secure. The judgment cannot be overturned. And the rich man says, oh, go and send Lazarus to my brethren to warn them concerning this place. And Abraham said, they have Moses, they have the prophets. Let them read them and understand. For if they do not take heed to those things, they will not take heed though one raised from the dead. Oh, dear friends, what a solemn thing that is, what Christ spoke. Take heed to the word of God. To her, take heed to these things, the blessings and the curses. Take heed to the things of eternity, as well as the things of earthly life. For if we do not take heed to them, neither shall we take heed to the things of Jesus and the resurrection from the dead. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Dear friends, what a solemn responsibility there is, isn't there, in the preaching of the word of God. They're not pleasant, we fear. But dear friends, it is not just death, destruction and despair, is it? In giving these warnings, the wicked, we may not be like some who enjoy adulteries and drunkenness and wantonness and low morals and thefts and those sort of things which are done outwardly by many wicked people. But dear friends, the soul that sinneth, our soul, it shall die if left to itself in sins. Oh, let us be ever mindful of that. Let it ever trouble us because of our nature. But oh, what do we read there in Isaiah 55? Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. What is that verse there? Forsake one's way, turn to the Lord. Dear friends, it's repentance, a turning about. Oh, dear friends, Jesus and John the Baptist said, unless ye repent, ye shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Dear friends, these are commands, they're exhortations. And because, dear friends, of the solemn things we read, Oh, do pray the Lord that he will cause them. As ye seek the Lord, fall at his feet. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the only deliverance from the consequence of sin. If ye warn the wicked and he not turn from his wickedness, if there's no repentance, he shall die in his iniquity. But thou hast delivered thy soul. Oh, dear friends, I declare this warning to us all this morning. To turn to the Lord. Call upon him while he is near. Pour out your heart before him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Dear friends, our vital is the only way. The only way that we can receive within us a hope of a blessed eternity in heaven above. If ye confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Oh, dear friends, what mercy and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you might say, well, I'm not amongst these wicked. I don't do these things. Let's look at verse 20. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin. And his righteousness, which thou hast done, he hath done, shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thine hand. When a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness. Dear friend, are we righteous here this morning? There's many righteous things in our religious life, isn't there? We do many things that are in accordance with the word of God. We seek to keep ourselves from the ways of open sin of the wicked. Otherwise, dear friends, I doubt if we would be here this morning. But, dear friends, we're still prone to sin, aren't we? We cannot claim our own righteousness is what we do. As an entrance into a blessed eternity. Because when we sin, and we still do sin, I know, dear friends, how solemn is the sin of self-righteousness. That we depend upon what we are in our outward walk better than others. All the righteousnesses that we have done shall not be remembered because of our sin. If we are guilty in one point, it's the same as if we are guilty in all in the eyes of a holy God. We're sinners still. And dear friends, the warning is to be given that every sin of every moment of every day is to be confessed. We're to ever be found guilty, even in our own eyes, in our own hearts, unworthy of the Lord's mercies. Humble, on our knees, dear friends, pleading forgiveness for our sins. Poor David, he was blessed with the Spirit of God, and some of you have also. He walked in the fear of God. And many of you do also. But David sinned. Even adultery. And he was left to the pride of his heart. Oh, a pride is an abomination to the Lord. Pride goeth before destruction, a naughty spirit before a fall. David's adultery was worthy of eternal damnation. He could not do anything now to save his own soul. And dear friends, how many things do we do likewise within our own hearts? Pride. Those evil thoughts welling up from our hearts. God looketh upon our hearts. Dear friends, is there a day goes by and you do not have to confess your sins? Solemn if we don't. For in that last day, that day of judgment, if there's one sin that has not been confessed, has not been repented of, and dear friends, repentance means turning about from them and not to do them anymore when we come guilty through them. Oh, like that woman caught in adultery, Jesus said to her, go and sin no more. Perform that adulterous act no more. What a warning, dear friends, if sin's treated lightly. That, oh, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We can sin and we can plead for forgiveness again. No, dear friends, that's not the spirit, is it? That's not the spirit of the grace of God within us. That's not the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, dear friends, is to flee from evil. Oh, I remember some years ago reading of a town in Russia, and near to this town there was a large dam holding back a great quantity of water, which was a reservoir and for the facilities of the town. And one day there came a mighty storm, and there were some landslides into this great reservoir behind this dam. And those responsible and in charge of the water and the dam, they came into the town. They warned the people. They said, get to higher ground. That dam is in a risk and fear of breaking. Some of them who believed and had faith and trust that these were genuine words, they fled the town to higher ground. Many of them, we've been comfortable here for many years. That dam and that water has served us well. These are unnecessary fears. We'll remain as we are. That's not going to happen. Two nights later, it did happen. That great flood came as the dam broke. And those who hadn't taken heed to the word, they perished in the flood. Oh, it's like Noah, isn't it, when he was upon this earth. And the Lord revealed to him all the wickedness of the people, and that he would destroy them with that great flood, and he was constrained to build the ark. And the day came when Noah, his family, and all those creatures which God had brought to Noah entered into the ark, and the door was shut. Noah had been a preacher of righteousness, and the multitude of people took no heed. They ate, they drank, they married, they were given in marriage. They continued in their daily lives upon this earth, just satisfied with carnal things. And they all perished in that flood of the wrath of God. Oh, dear friends, these things aren't told in the scriptures lightly. They are given for our learning, our learning. Our taking heed. Oh, dear friends, how solemn is disobedience. Disobedience to the word of God. You know that word, disobedience? It really means non-persuadable, unpersuadable. Dear friends, that's what we are, isn't it, in our own hearts. Living in content with the things of our daily lives. Satisfied with the pleasures and riches and aims of our worldly life. unpersuadable, hard-hearted to the sound of these solemn things. Well, we need the breaking of our hearts, don't we? Therefore, dear friends, we come again to repentance. We ever need this turning about from our own selves, from our own ways, from our own thoughts, from our own desires, and turn to the Lord. Oh, how often do we read that in the scriptures? Turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon you. Dear friends, he calls us, doesn't he, to the throne of grace. Through Jesus Christ, there's only one way to a throne of grace. Through Christ, the Saviour of sinners, whom God sent to bear the sins of many. And dear friends, oh, to take heed to these warnings. They bring us into the fear of the Lord, lest we should be left out. Left out from those who know the truth as it is in Jesus. And this becomes the object of our first desire, Jesus crucified for me. Dear friends, I pray it will be for you, each of you here this morning. How stands the case, our soul, or with God? How shall we be in that day of judgment? We read, don't we, in the prophecy of Hosea. Prophecy of Hosea, where God spoke to Israel and said, O Ephraim, thou hast destroyed thyself. But in me is thy help. Dear friends, there's the Lord's word to each of us, isn't it? We have destroyed ourselves. But in me is thy help. It wasn't a hopeless case. Why wasn't it a hopeless case? Because, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God. Thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Turn to the Lord and say unto him, take away all iniquity. And receive us graciously. Take away all iniquity. Dear friends, there's the confession of sin. From the depths of the heart, a broken heart, a contrite heart, so will we render the calves of our lips, those calves, the sacrifices of a broken and a contrite heart, pouring out one's confession of sin before the Lord. Asher will not save us. That was Egypt, the strength of the nations around them will not save us. We will not ride upon horses as if that was our strength to carry ourselves through life. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. Oh, how many idols we can so readily make, aren't we? Trusting in our own abilities, our own achievements, making gods of them. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. What a confession. And dear friends, when the cry is right, the answer is right. The Lord said, I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. Oh, dear friends, the word of the Lord, the whole counsel of God. Warnings, curses, blessings. Blessings to those who take heed unto these things. And they pour out their heart before the Lord, the only one who can save them. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I will heal their backslidings. I will love them freely. For mine anger is turned away from him. The wrath of God does not come in the day of judgment to a guilty sinner pouring out their heart before God. Oh, dear friends, is that your seeking this morning? You know, there's that word in Isaiah, no, Jeremiah, when Jeremiah wrote to those who were in the captivity at the time of Ezekiel, in the captivity of Babylon. He spoke to them concerning praying, how they should live in their captivity. He said unto them about seeking the Lord. He says, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me. I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What an exhortation. Ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden on account of your sins, your iniquities, or your evil nature, your ungodliness, your unrighteousnesses, your dependence upon your own self more than the things of God, come unto me. From that which you cannot deliver yourselves from, that labour, the heavy laden, and I will give thee rest. The sacred truth as it is in Jesus. Dear friends, there is no other way. Turn ye to the Lord. Call upon him in the day of your trouble. He will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify him. And he said unto me, Son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. Dear friends, may these things this morning be the word of the Lord unto you each and to me. Amen.